present The Little Sister by Raymond Chandler, dramatized in three parts by Bill Morrison, starring Ed Bishop as Philip Marlowe. The Little Sister, Part 2. California, 1947.
Ortha Mae Quest had come from Manhattan, Kansas. She was a poor girl looking for her lost brother, Orrin. I had nothing better to do just then, so I went looking for him too, and began to find very dead bodies with ice picks in their necks. Everybody was looking for a missing photograph. It had to be blackmail. Had the movie star Mavis Weld become involved in a gangland killing? I wanted to help her, but she thought she was doing fine on her own. All this was the side of Hollywood that the fans didn't know about. Nobody wanted a scandal, but everybody wanted to be paid. I didn't have the photograph, but I had the claim check from the camera shop. My office was dark when I went back to collect it. They put the light on.
Mr. Marlowe?
Who else?
My name is Toad. Joseph P. Toad. Go ahead and laugh. I'm used to it.
Who's the junkie with you, Mr. Toad?
That's Alfred. Say, how do you do to Mr. Marlowe, Alfred?
In a pig's valise.
Careful, Alfred, with a gun.
In a pig's valise.
Don't worry, Mr. Marlowe. It is unloaded. I have the magazine. Alfred's not reliable lately because of his habit. When he pulled the trigger, did it scare you? You ain't so tough.
You know what I just happen to have under my arm? A Luger. This Luger is loaded. Do you want me to prove it to you?
I'm sorry you take it like that. I'm so used to Alfred's little tricks, I hardly notice him. Maybe I ought to do something about him.
Do it this afternoon, before you came up here.
Maybe we played this wrong. Mind if I put my hand in my pocket? I don't wear a gun.
Go ahead. I would love you to try to pull a gun.
Here is $500. And for doing nothing. You ain't looking for nobody. You couldn't find nobody. You don't have time to work for nobody. Okay?
Who am I to do this for?
You could call me a guy that wants to help out a guy that don't want to make trouble for a guy. Now, this guy would rather spill money than blood, but he don't mind spilling blood if that's what he's got to do.
How is he with an ice pick?
We're not talking about ice picks.
Blondes?
Maybe you're too far in. Maybe it's too late to do business. I'll check back with my principal and see how far he wants to come. Everything stands as it is till you hear from me. Keep the dough. Come on, Alfred. We're just bit players, Marlowe. You understand?
Take the money, Alfred.
In a pig's valise.
Buy yourself a new vein. I'd had enough for one day. My brain felt like a bucket of wet sand. I wanted to go home, but the special delivery messenger came, and then Miss Manhattan, Kansas, phoned to tell me, all a twitter, that she had heard from Orrin. He must have been a better detective than me. I couldn't find out where she was staying. But then she mentioned murder. So I sat down and got out the bottle and waited for her to come up.
How nice of you to wait for me. And I bet you haven't had your dinner yet.
I have.
Oh.
I am now drinking whiskey. You don't approve of whiskey drinking, do you?
I certainly do not.
Did anybody I know get murdered? I can see you didn't. Not yet.
Orrin did phone me. I know you don't believe me, but he did. He wouldn't tell me where he was, but he said the horrid man in the rooming house was murdered.
Ortha Mae, I'm not going to ask you how you know this or how Orrin knows it. You found him. That's what you hired me for. The job is finished.
But he wouldn't tell me where he was.
Here. Take your $20. Endow a hospital or an orphanage with it. It makes me nervous having it around.
But you must find Orrin. Take my glasses off again, Philip.
I smell of whiskey.
I don't mind.
They make quite a difference, those glasses. You're a cute little trick without them, Orphan, eh? Cute enough to be in motion pictures. You said you had a sister, Leela, living in L.A. What name does she use in the movies?
I never said she was in pictures. You mind your own business about my sister, Leela. You leave my sister out of your dirty remarks.
What dirty remarks?
I hate you.
Marlowe, You're not human tonight. The next morning, in Bay City, I exchanged the claim check for an envelope containing a negative and six enlarged prints of it. It was a picture of Mavis Weld sitting in a booth in a restaurant with a man. The decor showed the restaurant to be a smart spot called The Dancers, where they are not keen on people taking candid shots of their customers. So it must have been a hidden camera trick, easy with a Leica. The kind of picture Oren had a taste for. Hicks must have grabbed it off him, but why? Why had she come to pay him off? What was the blackmail angle? Why two deaths? What was the gangland connection? There was an evening paper lying on the restaurant table, and with a magnifying glass, I could just make out a headline. Light heavyweight contender succumbs to ring injuries. A friend on the paper put a date to it, February 20th. He also told me that was the night Sonny Moe Stein was shot twice in the head, not far from a block of flats on Franklin called the Chateau Bercy, while the police held a restaurant owner called Steelgrave, whom I had met last night. Yeah?
Marlo, this is Toad. Do you know a man called Sheridan Ballou?
Nope.
You should look him up. He's a big agent.
Is he Mavis Weld's agent?
He could be. Look him up.
Looking up Mr. Sheridan Ballou was no easy operation. Getting past his receptionist was the hardest work I'd done for a month. I even began to feel sorry for actors. Ballou had an office that was two stories high. The concert grand Steinway in the corner looked a little lost. He was a big, strong guy, but he lay on a couch while a lissom blonde laid a cold white towel on his head. He lifted his head long enough to look at the photograph of Mavis and her boyfriend, and then had a relapse. I had cut off the part which showed the newspaper.
The piece that's cut out would be the punchline, no doubt. How much?
You don't want to buy anything.
No. How much?
Here's the other piece. With a magnifying glass, you can read the headline on the newspaper.
All I see is Mavis Weld, a client of mine, having lunch in a public place, The Dancers, with the owner of that restaurant, Mr. Steelgrave. Hardly disastrous for the reputation of my client, which I take it is what you have in mind. How much?
I always wonder why people pay blackmailers. It never ends. You always are just where you started.
If I pay, I'll get what I bought, or you can get beaten to a pulp.
I don't think we're going to do any business, Mr. Ballou. You're a busy man. I'll take myself off.
My client tells me that a private eye named Marlowe tried last night to force her to hire him on the grounds that she was seen inconveniently close to where a murder was committed.
I bet she also suggested that somebody shut my mouth.
She did?
Mm. Did she suggest how?
I got the impression she favored a heavy, blunt instrument. But I gather Mr. Toad couldn't bribe you and didn't even scare you.
They scared me plenty.
Mr. Marlowe, what do you want?
What I wanted from her and couldn't get. The right to act in her interest up to the point where I decide I can't go any farther.
To explain why you suppressed evidence like this picture?
If it is evidence. The cops can't solve this without smearing her. Maybe I can. They wouldn't care. I do.
Solve what?
The man who took that photograph is missing. He's probably dead. Two other men who lived at the same address are dead. One of them was trying to peddle these pictures just before he got dead.
What's so important about the photo?
The boyfriend, Steelgrave. There was a tip that he was really a Cleveland Red Hot called Weepy Moyer, so the cops pulled him in. While they were holding him, another Red Hot was shot to death on the very day this picture was taken. Now, how did Steelgrave happen to be having lunch with his movie star girlfriend when he was supposed to be in jail, which was his cast-iron alibi for the murder? She knows. She knows who he is. I met him last night. He still has her door key. It seems she doesn't mind. Maybe that's her business. But if she gets fixed in the public mind as a gangster's girl, she is through in your business.
Name your price.
$500 and a signed letter employing my services to investigate an attempt to blackmail one of your clients.
One of these days, I'm going to make the mistake which a man in my position dreads above all other mistakes. I'm going to find myself doing business with a man I can trust, and I'm going to be just too goddamn smart to trust him. I think I should trust you, Mr. Marlowe.
When I went out, the receptionist gave me her Saturday night smile. I had been a whole 40 minutes with the boss. I had to be important. I also got a pass to the studios. I would get to see how it was done behind the scenes and get to see the stars. Mavis Wells was wearing a wet sharkskin swimsuit. She was climbing onto a portion of boat deck in front of a projection of sunny seas, smiling, smiling. She was going to be a star. She had it, whatever it was. After the scene, she took me into her dressing room. The pale glow of her skin seemed to fill the little room.
So, ask me the questions, Marlowe.
Who is Steelgrave?
A man I've known for some time and liked. Where he comes from, that I don't know.
Has he ever had any trouble with the police?
The man is worth a couple of million dollars.
How did he get it?
I wouldn't know.
No? Show him the photo. Ask him what it means.
It's too late. You've nothing to sell, Marlowe. Except perhaps your life.
Would you want to buy me?
How much are you worth?
$40 a day in expenses. I take 25. I've taken less. Show him the picture. The cops would love to know I hid it from them. As long as they don't find out, I have a license. As long as somebody else doesn't find out, I don't have an ice pick in the back of my neck. Would you say I was in an overpaid profession?
I can't afford you, Marlowe. All I have is money. There was a time... There was a time when I was innocent and young. Don't remind me of it. Leave me alone.
I'm working for you, Duchess. Yeah?
Oren's in trouble.
We've been through that routine, Orpha May.
This is serious. He got the letter I wrote. He picked it up at the post office. He called me from Bay City.
What address?
He's staying with a doctor, working for him. A doctor, Vincent Lagardi.
Vince, the doc.
Oren's in a lot of trouble. Some gangsters are after him.
Oh, don't be silly, Orpha May. They don't have gangsters in Bay City. They're all working in pictures.
Please go down there and help him.
I'm in trouble myself.
Why?
Telling lies. It always catches up with me. I'm not as lucky as some people.
I'm not lying. Please go down there. Please.
The little bell had rung. The one that rings far back and is not loud, but you'd better hear it. I looked at my dusty office, the same broken promise of a life of ease. I opened my desk drawer and took out the Luger and strapped it on. I fitted my hat on my head. On the way out, I looked at my face in the mirror. It looked as if I had made up my mind to drive off a cliff.
What is it? I'm not seeing any patients today.
I'm a private detective. We talked on the phone once, Doc, about a rooming house manager called Clausen.
I do not remember.
I'm looking for a Mr. Oren P. Quest.
There's no one of that name here.
Then why would he tell his sister he was working for you, Dr. Lagardi?
I do not know. Sit down. I'm afraid we're in a state of confusion today.
Oh, that's a big sterilizer. You've got a lot of needles cooking in it.
Why are you looking for this person?
Oh, we'll get there. About those needles. A couple of years back, I had a case down here concerned a Dr. Almore. Altair Street. He used to go out nights with a case of hypodermic needles. Drunks, rich junkies, of whom there are more than people think. Insomniacs, all the neurotic types that can't take it cold. He helped them over the humps. It gets to be all humps after a while, but that's good business. He died a while back of his own medicine.
You think I have inherited his practice?
Somebody would.
Why do you think Quest is here?
Hiding out. On account of he's too quick with his little Leica.
Mm-hmm. Well, I am sure the Bay City police would like to talk to you. Shall I call them?
Why not? We'll both be in the clink by nightfall, Doc. You, for your connection with Clausen. Me, for doing little things a gumshoe never gets away with, like hiding evidence. Oh, but I'm through. Very much through. But there's a wild perfume in the air this afternoon. I don't seem to care. Or I'm in love.
Or you have been drinking.
Only Chanel No. 5, Doc. and the pale glow of lovely legs and the invitation of deep blue eyes.
Yes, yes, I treated Clausen. He was an alcoholic. I practice among dirty little people in a dirty little town. It makes me feel dirty. I am a graduate of the Sorbonne, but something happened a few years ago in another city.
Was it Cleveland?
That is a very wild suggestion.
I'm talking about a photograph of an ex-Cleveland gangster having lunch on a certain day with a movie queen when said gangster is supposed to be in the city jail. Her little brother took the picture. Is this still wild?
It begins to have possibilities. Have a cigarette. They're very good.
Imported.
Go on.
Thanks. The little brother lived in a rooming house where lived a man who called himself Hicks, who muscled in on the blackmail and got dead, just like Clausen. Both from very expertly placed ice picks in the neck. Oren had a couple of years at medical school. Now, I'll tie you in. Why did he take that particular photograph on that particular day? It's only valuable to someone who knows Steelgrave is an ex-Cleveland redhot called Weepy. It had to be somebody from Cleveland. You can't change your name and keep your medical license, Dr. Lagardi. I checked. You had an office suite downtown in Cleveland.
Let me light your cigarette, huh?
Nice. Now, you're here in Dirty Bay City. Why? Oren's sister tells me Oren is here. Why? Somebody had to be the brains, Doc. And it wasn't Clausen. Oren. Or Hicks. They had to be used. What's going on here, huh? What?
There's nothing to fear. A little potassium hydrocyanide. Merely a relaxer. Not likely to be fatal.
Where are you hurt? Oh, two wounds. How did you crawl in here with those two bullet holes in you and an ice pick in your hand? Where's my gun? Still on me. Hasn't been fired. Lagardi didn't do this. If he was a killer, he'd have finished me. I don't get it. What the hell is going on? Oren? Oren? Oren, you're back to innocence. It was time to go. I was too far outside the law already. I felt as low as a badger's belly. It was time to stop on the way out of Bay City and make another anonymous call. Who are you? Just a lucky boy who keeps finding bodies. Wonderful what Hollywood will do to a nobody. It'll make a glamour queen out of a drab little wench. A He-Man hero out of an overgrown kid who was meant to go to work with a lunch pail. Out of a Texas car hop, it will make an international courtesan, married six times to six millionaires. And at the end of it, her idea of a thrill is to seduce the furniture mover. And out of a small town prig, it might even make an ice pick murderer. In a matter of months, elevating his simple meanness into the classic sadism of the multiple killer. Hollywood. I got back to my office.
Ah, at last. I've waited here so long, amigo. I've not had any lunch.
I have. Cyanide. I've only just stopped looking blue.
I'm not in an amusing mood today.
I amuse myself. Well, do you always wear black, Miss Gonzalez?
It is more exciting when I take my clothes off.
Do you have to talk like a whore?
Would you like to go to bed with me, Philip Marlowe?
What's your urgent business? Going to bed with you can be done any time.
Oh, I do not draw a very sharp line between sex and business. Sex is a net with which I catch fools. Some of these fools are useful.
and gentlemen, occasionally one of them is dangerous.
Steelgrave. I know who he is.
You and I could make love and make money, too. He was my boyfriend.
I'm not a hell of a lot interested in your love life. I assume it covers a wide field, all the way from Stein to Steelgrave.
Who is Stein?
Sonny Moe. He got shot outside your apartment block. Mm-hmm. I thought you might have met him. Or were you looking out of your window and saw the killer run away? And just under a streetlight, he looked back. And darned if it wasn't friend Steelgrave. You recognize him by his rubber nose and the fact that he was wearing his tall hat with the pigeons on it.
Steelgrave was in jail.
So I have been told.
Even if I happen to be friendly, amigo, with the county jail physician, Dr. Chalmers, and even if he told me in an intimate moment that he had given Steelgrave a pass to go to the dentist on the very day Stein was shot, even if all this happened to be true, would it be wise to blackmail Steelgrave?
You've got a point, Dolores.
But if we know that Mavis Weld is a close friend of a known gangster, she will soon be getting $75,000 and then $150,000 a picture. Nothing will stop her except possibly a bad scandal.
Well, tell me this, Dolores. While we're putting the bite on Miss Weld, what's Steelgrave doing?
He doesn't have to know. I don't think she would tell him or stay with him.
What do we use for proof?
This photograph of the two of them together. I took it from her dressing room today.
Oh, Dolores, why don't you just get the hell out of here?
What?
I'll never make a blackmailer. I lack the engaging personality.
And I thought you were smart.
It never occurred to you I might just be doing a job?
It is my mistake. One look at this shabby little office should have told me.
Ah, breeze on out, Miss Gonzalez, and close the door.
Too bad for you, amigo.
Yeah?
This is Lieutenant French. We'd like to see you down at headquarters, Milo.
Right away?
Make it sooner.
I drove off a cliff. Yeah?
You don't have to tell me. I went down there. I saw you go in. I tried to go after you when you came out, but I lost you. So I went back, and I just knew I had to get inside that house.
So you called the cops?
They got in and found Oren.
You told the cops about me, too?
Yes.
Oh, that's fine. I'm glad of that. Good luck if I don't see you again.
You can keep it. I wouldn't want it. You left him lying on the floor.
Marlo, sit down. Meet Lieutenant McGlashan of the Bay City Police. He doesn't like you any better than we do. Now, why don't you start at the beginning?
You want me to make a statement?
Yeah, just put in all the stuff you suppressed yesterday.
This statement to be voluntary and without coercion?
They all are.
Yeah.
Well, what are you putting one glove on for, man?
I bite my nails. Funny, only on my right hand. Some guys are more voluntary than others, you know. Something to do with the kidneys, they tell me. I've known not-so-voluntaries who had to go to the can every 15 minutes for weeks. Couldn't seem to hold water.
How about the ones who have to sit in a chair like this for 30 hours straight and then fall down and happen to burst a bladder?
I could do lovely business with you. Just lovely.
What makes you Bay City cops so tough? You pickle your nuts in salt water or something? Now, Marlo, you want to talk or get booked as a material witness?
Ask your questions. If you don't like the answers, then book me, and I get to make a phone call.
If we book you. This could take days, not strictly legal, but we're not as ethical as you. Now cast your mind back to Idaho Street and a dead man called Clausen.
I went there looking for Oren Quest. My client was his sister.
Your former client. She told us.
He was gone. Clausen was drunk. I talked to another man who was in Quest's room. He left. When I got downstairs, Clausen was dead. I called the police.
You didn't give no name. You didn't stick around.
I had no information about Clausen.
In Bay City, we could murder you for that.
In Bay City, you could murder me for wearing a blue tie.
So what happened next?
The call to go to the Van Nuys Hotel.
Where the man you met in the rooming house is lying dead, also killed by an ice pick in the neck. Yeah, you could have told us.
It could have violated my agreement with my client.
A murder wipes out such agreements, especially two murders by the same method. You know, you don't look good, not even to your client after today. She turned you in, Marlon.
She told me her brother had called her from Dr. Lagardi's house. I was to take care of him. He was supposed to be in danger. Lagardi slipped me a doped cigarette. When I came to, Orrin Quest was dying on the floor with an ice pick in his hand.
Right, even if the kid had an ice pick, that don't prove he was born holding one.
This one was filed down to 3 inches. They don't come that way from the hardware store.
How much longer we got to barber around with this monkey? You talk to him like he was human. I think I'll put my glove on again.
The captain doesn't like this.
Hell with a captain.
And the captain doesn't like small-town cops saying to hell with him. Now let the guy speak his piece.
Clawson was probably pushing reefers. I saw account books there. Quest got wise. Now, according to his sister, he told her that some gangsters were after him. So he was hiding out at the doctor's and working for him.
And what have you got on Lagarde?
He used to practice in Cleveland. A big practice, downtown. He must have had reasons to hide out in Bay City.
Yeah. Yeah, I like the reefer angle. It explains. I'm only interested in the local angle. The rest is up to you. Thanks for the cooperation. Come to Bay City any time, Marlowe.
The rest is up to us. Why the search of the room in the Van Nuys Hotel?
My guess would be looking for a claim check. Probably for a suitcase full of weed. Mm-hmm. It's small enough to be taped under a wig.
Sounds plausible. Mm-hmm. Tell me about Cleveland.
The ice picks made you think of Weepy Moyer and Sonny Moe. With those guys, there's always a medic in the background.
That's a pretty wild connection.
Well, would I do myself any good if I tightened it up?
Can you?
I can try.
You got another client?
I have an agreement.
The next move is up to the DA. Don't leave town, Marlowe.
That was part two of The Little Sister by Raymond Chandler, dramatized for radio by Bill Morrison, with Ed Bishop as Philip Marlowe. Production for the BBC was by John Tiedemann.